You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. It's a mailbag Monday, so we have guests today. First up, Justin Rowan in freezing Winnipeg, Canada.
Yep.
And then Daniel Rowell, who the king of pins and NBA art. How's it going, Dan?
Pretty good. Doing well.
So
If you want a fun anecdote, I just dropped off a bunch of pins at the post office, and I learned you can't take photos at the post office, or you'll get arrested. So, good anecdote.
God damn.
So, guys, you did learn something today that you wouldn't have learned otherwise out of this podcast. Don't take photos at the post office. Like, don't be Snapchatting and Instagramming. I'm sure Dan was, you know, clearly doing something highly illegal at the post office by trying to take a picture of the massive amount of pins delivered, but we digress. So, we got a lot of good questions today. As always, drop them to LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll obviously answer most of them as long as they kind of fit the parameters of things and they're timely. And we appreciate everyone that always sends in questions. So, first up, this is via email from Ali the Cavs fan. He asked, what are the implications of Birdman's injury and what should the Cavs' next move be with him?
Well, I mean, it's a little tough because it's kind of a cascading effect with Birdman's injury because he probably wasn't going to play a ton. He was kind of a break glass in case of an emergency player. But without Birdman, you're left with three bigs. Like, you're left with Channing Frye, Shiras, and Thompson, who are both, well, Tristan's a center in today's NBA, but both were traditionally thought of as power forwards. You have Kevin Love, who can play some center, but you don't really have anything beyond that. You don't have any backup plan in case if there's an injury or foul trouble. So while I'm sure that they'd rather use their resources on either a backup point guard or another wing, the injury to Birdman seems like it's going to kind of divert some of their attention to trying to acquire some sort of backup center, whether that be an unsigned player or a throw-in with another trade.
Yeah, my thing with it is it means you're going to have to play Channing Frye more in garbage time or on nights where you're trying to rest your rotation guys, and he certainly qualifies as a rotation guy. It means we're going to have games where Tristan Thompson has no business being in, but he's going to play because the Cavs don't have any other options at the moment. I mean, just the other night when they rested everyone in Memphis, the plan was for him to play 6 minutes and they ended up playing 28. That's there's no way you can play Tristan Thompson 6 minutes a game now, because you're obviously going to have to pick between resting him or Kevin Love. You're going to rest Kevin Love every time because he's a more important piece to your team and part of your big three and is carrying so much of the scoring burden. I think what's going to be interesting is what they do, because I think you may have to waive him, right? Like, that's doing him super dirty, but you maybe need to go sign somebody, and because of that Mo Williams thing right now, there isn't a roster spot. And you probably aren't going to cut Kay Felder. You probably aren't going to cut Liggins, who's played well. I could maybe see cutting McRae, but why would you cut McRae when he's healthy and could theoretically play garbage time minutes for other guys? And you have Birdman there who's not going to play, and he's a 38-year-old guy who just tore his ACL. Like, what's the value in keeping him around anyway?
Yeah, yeah, they're probably going to have to buy out Birdman and Williams. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut McRae. But yeah, it's harsh, but it's a business.
Yeah,
maybe he'll come on as a coach.
Yeah, I was reading that it would cost almost $4 million between the salary tax and everything else to cut Birdman, and then you have to add that on to whatever else we'd sign. So it's definitely costly. And if Gilbert's asking $70 million from Cleveland to build a stadium, I don't know if he wants to go and drop, you know, the $8 million we'd need to go sign a new player. So it'd be tough, but I think we probably have to do it to get more rest for for Kevin and for Tristan.
Yeah, it's certainly not ideal, right? I think maybe this was inevitable if you were going to risk having that thin of a front court. And I don't know, I think maybe this brings up, you know, you maybe have Larry Sanders become an option again, and maybe that brings up some of the other scenarios out there. By the way, Dan Gilbert, $70 million. Dan Gilbert has the money, because remember, just, you know, we're going to do a podcast on the stadium renovations at some point. The $70 million Dan Gilbert is actually paying technically comes from the money he's paying. I'm going to have to edit this out and fix it. I got to remember the... Okay. Dan Gilbert's money. Okay, the money that Dan Gilbert's actually paying is, like, money that's already, like, allotted to the city for taxes, so he's not actually, like, investing his own money in the stadium.
Like...
So, like,
yeah, it's, just think, it's, think at some over. Point you have to cut a check. I don't think Larry Sanders is going to be an option, because if Larry Sanders was anywhere near the right mental state of being able to contribute to a basketball team right now, either the Cavs or Warriors would have signed him when they initially kind of did their evaluations. Like, if he's right, that would make such a big difference in a team like the Warriors, who has to rely on a lot of dead weight at center, would jump all over that. So I don't anticipate that kind of being a solution. I guess you can always get Louis Aumans back in here. A nice return there. Or kind of wait for a buyout. But there just doesn't seem to be a lot of options. Maybe you can get a where you're trading Zeddy Osman and you're trading other pieces to get maybe Caspian, although it all depends on how willing they are to move Kufos. I know he's someone that they've shopped, but as far as obvious solutions, there just simply aren't any.
Yeah, and just before we move on to the next question, this is the current available bigs per Hoopsite, which they list all the free agents out and everything like that. So Donis Moniunis is a free agent. He's a power forward, but can play some center, especially as a smaller center, a la Fry. Quincy Acey.
Yes!
Yeah, Quincy Acey.
Isn't he hurt?
I believe so, but I feel like he would make some sense. And then you have Chris Kamen. You have Tyler Hansbrough. And then it kind of gets down to, like, a bunch of point guards, and you keep scrolling, and then it's like, oh, hi, Matt Bonner, and hi, Kendrick Perkins, and hi, Ryan Hollins, and hi, Drew Gooden. So, hi, Lou Edmondson. Hi, Al Harrington. So, you know, not exactly the greatest group, and a lot of former Cavs retreads there, funny enough, but that's kind of where you're going to be at.
Hansbrough would be hilarious. I'd be about Hansbrough.
I mean, he'd fight somebody, so.
Yeah, exactly. Too many Duke UNC guys.
I feel like you need to have a certain number of guys that can just provoke Draymond. Like, I think that's necessary.
Yeah.
And Tyler Hansbrough would absolutely fit that description.
Yeah. So that leads us into the next question, which we kind of already hinted at. This is from Perry Kellis, also in an email. And he says, who are the buyout hopefuls this season? I'd pray Tyson Chandler would want to, but it feels like any center that gets bought out would have to be the perfect role for a place like Golden State over the Cavs. What do you think? So, I'll say this. The one guy that, to me, makes a lot of sense, and this isn't my idea, but he's also a trade target, but he's on an expiring contract, and that's PJ Tucker. I know he's, like, not that great as a three, but I think he can play some four, and I think that has value. I think there's not a reason to trade for him because he's just going to walk this summer anyway, and if you're him and you want to leave, that's kind of the way to do it, is take the buyout. You can go back to the Suns next year if you want to go back there. And it's just hard to see. Like, Tyson Chandler, as much as he makes sense, he's not a Tyson Chandler really anymore, right? Like, he's a lot older. He's a lot slower down. He's nowhere near his peak. And he kind of is their veteran guy, and he'd be giving up a lot of money for that. And it's just that seems like way too complicated to think of him getting a buyout at this stage. And there just aren't. I don't think there's, like, a ton of great options. Like, Joe Johnson last year was, like, made a ton of sense, right? Yeah. I don't know if there's quite as many options in this crop of guys, but of course it's only December.
Yeah, I'm not very for PJ Tucker. I mean, if he's bought out and there's no other better options, sure, Adam. But I've talked to Suns writers about him, and they are obviously low on his play. They say he's about 17 pounds overweight. Obviously, the guy has had off-court concerns basically his entire career. he's not someone that they necessarily want around their young guys. So it, with him being so overweight, I know he can play some four because of his body, but the guy's like 6'4", if that. He's not a great fit. I think he could be a bit of a distraction in the locker room. If there's no other options, go ahead and add him. Chris, I think you brought up good points with Tyson Chandler. I don't think he's a likely guy to get bought out. But, yeah, as I said earlier, there really aren't a lot of obvious options. Someone like Omer Caspi, I don't think he's going to get bought out, but I think he's someone that they could at least trade for because he's out of the rotation and he's a very useful player. So I think that might need to be the direction they go, but unfortunately, the Cavs' best trade asset is really Seti Osman, so I don't see him staying on the Cavs roster throughout this year with all the needs that the Cavs are sort of piling up.
Yeah, I agree. I think PJ Tucker is also coming off of a back surgery, which I don't know how many players we want to like accrue that have recently recovered from a back surgery in the past year, because it definitely also includes Dunleavy. So, yeah, but it's tough. I mean, the Cavs definitely need a backup. I don't think they necessarily have to play significant minutes going down the road in the playoffs, but we just need someone to fill up minutes. And so if PJ Tucker can do that and then they can just cut him before playoffs, I'm okay with that, but it just kind of depends.
Yeah, I'm also going to suggest to look back at Birdman real quick that him and Dante Jones just start forming like the guys that are clearly hanging out with the team, but like not on the team. Like I want that club to be a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm pretty sure Dante Jones is like, there's like a chance he's like still just like living in Westlake and like hanging around the team inevitably for like Mo Williams to get cut. But before we go to the next question, just want to let you guys know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek's the best way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. You can download on any smartphone, so if you have an Android or an iPhone, go download this app. Every ticket you want to find on SeatGeek, whether it's for a concert or a Cavs game or whatever you want to attend, it's going to be graded based on how good of a deal it is. If it's marked as green, that's a good deal. If it's red, you're probably getting gypped a little bit. And it covers every ticket seller out there. So if you're looking for one place to find every possible ticket option, you can do it on SeatGeek. You're also going to get to see the view from your seat right in the app, so you're going to know exactly what your view of the court is going to look like if you're buying Cavs tickets. And also, my listeners today can save $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS, that's LOCAVS, and entering it under the settings tab and saving $20 off that first SeatGeek purchase. I've used the app. I just bought Run the Jewels tickets, so I'm going to see Killer Mike and LP in Cleveland in a couple weeks. And I forgot to buy tickets when they first dropped, and it sold out. And then I got the best deal possible because I use SeatGeek. So go use that promo code. That's LOCAVS, LOCAVS. Save $20 off that first purchase. And then tweet me at LockedOnCavs or at CWMRights and let me know that you used it. And just go that on that app. It's a great way to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. So the next question we have, it kind of leads into this a little bit, kind of what we've talked about. And also, we get a, I don't, Justin, as a veteran member of Cavs Twitter and at Fear the Sword, you can attest to this as well. No, Cavs fans love nothing more than talking about trade rumors and guys that you could get on the free agent market.
Oh, man, I think it's, transactions are one of the most entertaining things for almost all sports fans. I think that's why you see so much of an appetite for rumors and stuff like that, but especially with the Cavs, who have seen so much turnover, and you do have an active GM with Griffin, and really the trades that have happened in the past, I mean, getting Channing Frye for nothing, getting J.R. Shump and a first for Deion Waiters, those type of transactions are going to make you think almost anything is possible. So yeah, absolutely, I definitely think there's an appetite for it.
Alright, so here is the question. This is from cmarsh4202 on Twitter. He asks, what's a bigger need, backup point guard or athletic wing guy?
Oh, here's my thing. I think backup point guard is a bigger need. I think a backup wing, another 3-and-D wing, is more needed against Golden State. When you look at the finals last year, the centers were basically Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. Those were the only ones that they used. All playoffs, the only point guards they used were LeBron and Kyrie. So I think that type of rotation would make any buyout or trade candidate point guard or center kind of rotation. Although getting to the finals, those type of players would kind of reduce the load on Kyrie and on our big men. But against the Warriors, you want to have another reliable wing. It'd be nice if Mike Dunleavy kind of stepped.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would prefer, like, for facing off against the Warriors for a wing player. But I don't know, I think this is kind of like the problem with the Cavs is we have Jordan and could be a more perimeter wing kind of player, but isn't really good. Dunleavy is supposed to be our 3-and-D guy and is not. We just have a lot of players on our roster that aren't really living up to some of the potential that they could be. I'd say that having a ball handler that can get more rest for LeBron and Kyrie, especially since Kyrie does have that injury history, is more important. And maybe try and figure out a way to fix Dunleavy. But I don't know. I mean, what point guards are even out there? Like, we're looking at, like, Norris Cole or someone like... Are Mario Chalmers still okay?
Mario Chalmers is currently working out in Charlotte, rehabbing his ACL. After he... To me, he would be the guy you would get, right? Like, that's the guy that I think makes a lot of sense. I
think he's going to sign with the Cavs. If I had to make a prediction, he's going to be a Cavalier either in January or February.
And it just makes a lot of sense. He's got the LeBron connection. It's kind of the perfect place to rehab his career and play within a specific role, get some legs under him without a ton of pressure of having to start. And then, you know, he ends up maybe getting a bigger deal in the summer on the heels of, you know, helping the team make or, you know, win the finals. I think Justin answered this perfectly. Against Golden State, I think I would like another wing because Dunleavy has, like Dan said, has not been good. And I'm kind of getting worried that he may not be good all year. I think that's just certainly on the table at this point. And, you know, DeAndre Liggins has been fine. I think he's done specific things well in terms of defending and being very useful on defense and playing without the ball in a way Jordan McRae really can't. That has made him useful. I don't know if he's a guy you can really bank on playing 12 minutes in the playoffs against a team that's going to go hyper small. Like, I would need to see more from him. But I think in the regular season, if you're talking about managing Kyrie and LeBron's workloads, having a guy who can actually dribble the ball up the floor, initiate the offense and give them actual rest, because I don't need to see any more J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, DeAndre Liggins guard trio lineups with Kevin Love. Like, that's just wasting Kevin Love on his own, to asking those guys to, like, set him up properly. I think a point guard makes a lot of sense. I think the way you get to both of them is you buy up Birdman, and then you get rid of Mo Williams in some way. And maybe it's a small ball forward that's the wing, too. Like, maybe it's Omri Caspi, who Justin has talked about and has mentioned a couple times. Like, that would make a lot of sense. More former Cavs back to Cleveland. Like, I'm down for that. I'm really here for, like, the random ex-Cav, like, showing up again. I always think that's fun.
Bring back Perk.
Yeah, let's get Perk. Let's get Ryan Hollins. Let's get...
No. Come on.
Earl Clark.
Go with the fun ones.
What about CJ Miles?
Yeah, I mean, dude, if the Pacers are trying to, like, deal CJ Miles, like, I'm doing it. I love CJ. And him, that's, like, Kyrie's, like, best friend. I've never seen Kyrie, like, be, like, more engaged with another player than he was with CJ Miles. Like, they had like, a bromance during those first couple of years.
I don't think it's possible to get Miles, but oh my god, if they could, that would be a huge addition.
He can play the 2, 3, and the 4. Like, he basically plays the 4 with the Pacers sometimes, and I really don't know why it works, but it does.
Plus, he would make more livid.
Yes. And I'm all, like, the Cavs need to just get Deli and CJ back in a three-way deal, and just, like Mort can just combust. Like, you just see, like, the Fear the Sword Twitter account will just, like, deactivate and never be tweeted from for, like, a week before we realize Mort has just, like, curled up in a corner and can't handle the fact that it's his least favorite people are back. So, our next question, and this kind of hits on the same thing. This is from Joe_Cavs. Windhorse mentioned that the Cavs probably need another wing player. do you think Caspi or Tucker would be attainable slash good fits? We've hit on this a little bit. We're kind of split on Tucker. I think Caspi would be great. He can play. He's more of a small ball four at this point, right? But he's really good at that, and there's a need for that. I think you could really utilize him in interesting ways. You could go really small. You could do things where LeBron's the only backup point guard, and you're playing him and Channing Frye together with Shumpert and, you know, whoever else. Like, I'd be really down for Omri Caspi, especially if you could get him with Kostas Koufos, like, in a deal. And I don't know how exactly how that would work without getting rid of everything. I would be really down for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you summed that up pretty well. Caspi would definitely be high on my list of targets. Beyond that, I've already touched on Tucker and my feelings there. And now you just got my mind on CJ Miles, so I'm just going to let a little off.
Yeah, I checked Hoops Hype. Sounds like that Caspi's at least getting permission to shop for a trade. And he's like a $3 million contract, so it's a really good deal. I don't know if Cavs quite have the thing that they could throw back at it for, like, a decent player, 40% three-point shooter on a good contract, but it'd be great if we could. And throwing Kostas Koufos would be wild, but, yeah. I think
never,
I like Caspi.
Never count anything out when you're dealing with Vlade Divac.
Yeah,
true.
Like, just never count
it. Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, David Griffin, like, offers a pack of smokes and a trade exception. Like, maybe that gets done.
Would you guys trade Seti for him?
For Caspi, straight up, no.
Caspi and Koufos?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you might have to. Yeah, but would that be enough, I guess, is the better question. I would probably guess no.
Mm.
Like, you probably would have to do a pick or Kay Felder. Which, if it's Kay Felder, like, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think any deal the Cavs would do would probably, I think, like, the best package, and I said this last week, I'm pretty sure, would probably be Seti, one of the future first round picks, and then Mo Williams' contract.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, probably the most realistic scenario. I mean, just because they have to do something with Mo Williams' contract. There's no way I can see them paying him for the whole season if he's just going to be chilling in Alabama, like, cheering on the Tide. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, like, there's just got to be something there that we're waiting for. And it's David Griffin, like Justin has said.
Yep.
All right. So our last question today comes from a great Twitter handle and a great bio. I don't know why this guy made this account or why he follows me and tweeted me this, but shout out to this guy. From at Evo Westbrook Zero, and his Twitter bio is F Kevin Durant. So this guy's clearly in. I'm here for that. What are the odds, fix your grammar, what are the odds of LBJ playing against every Banana Boat crew member in the playoffs, and how would that play out? So if you don't know, that is LeBron, CP3, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo. That is the Banana Boat crew. I think the way it happened, there's a clear way this happens. The Knicks are, you know, the 8th seed or so. The Cavs get them in the first round. You get the Bulls in the second round, because I just can't see that happening without one of those two teams being the 8th seed and the other one being, you know, the whatever team the Cavs face in the second. You get the 4. I just can't see them, like, either one of them jumping ahead of Toronto. You know, I think the Knicks were the 3 seed or still are the 3 seed, but they're not that good.
No.
Not at all. And then you'd have to think the Clippers would have to beat the Cavs and or beat the Warriors and get to the Cavs in the finals. I think if that happens, the Cavs are winning the title, right? Like,
what about a trade, though? Would a trade get it done? Like, what if Chris Paul gets traded to Boston?
Yeah, I think the only way this is possible is if one or more of those players gets traded, because the Clippers are not beating the Warriors. The Knicks are probably not a playoff team. I'm still trying to figure out why Chicago is. I'm trying to see how sustainable that is. They're the 8th seed right now.
Jimmy Butler. New York's. That's the New York's. That's the answer.
No, Jimmy Butler, like, that's fine, but you can't have a roster with one shooter. Like, you just can't. So they're the 8th seed right now. The Knicks are the 6th seed. If Milwaukee was healthy, they'd be a playoff team over them. Indiana's probably going to be a playoff team. Like, there's no way it's happening. Like, I just don't see it happening. Right now, I'm just looking at the standings. Detroit and Atlanta aren't playoff teams. I would expect them to take New York and Chicago's spots in the playoffs.
All right, so
that's me being a hater. And while I'm at it, while we're talking about Westbrook,
oh boy,
the Thunder are not that good.
Oh no, they're not good.
No, they're not good. They're like, they've had the fifth easiest schedule. They beat a bunch of bad teams. They're going to end up just barely making playoffs. They'll be the seventh seed, seventh or eighth.
I see no lies.
I mean, like, I think that's an easy take, but...
All right, Dan, you G-chatted me earlier this week. I think it's fine. What's your hot take? You're going to come ready with a take. It's Radio Dan.
I think that the Rockets are the best team in the East, or in the West right now. That was my hot take.
That's not even a hot take, Dan.
Like, it's not even a hot take?
That's not a hot take.
That's a hot take.
They've won 10 in a row. Like, they're not the best team in the West. I don't think he's saying they're playing the best right now. They've won 10 in a row. Yeah.
The Warriors are, like, third in defensive rating now. Like, since that Lakers game, like, they're just destroying everyone. Like, I get the Rockets have a historically good offense, and, like, they just blitz the hell out of teams. But the Warriors have a great offensive defense. And they can play defense, unlike Houston.
Okay,
Houston. I don't think you have to play defense in 2016, if I'm being honest. I mean, we just beat Lakers 108-114 or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the Lakers.
Like, without D'Angelo, yeah.
Scraping by the Lakers without D'Angelo Russell, where the average age of the team is probably like 20. I don't think that's proof. When you have Kyrie, Kevin Love, LeBron, just putting up ridiculous stat lines, like I think that's actually proof to my point that you do still have to play defense.
Yeah, Dan, I'm kind of disappointed because I was expecting you to come in with the flames and just call somebody out, and it didn't happen.
Sorry,
it's okay. I understand. Yeah. Hot takes are kind of hard; like, they're kind of exhausting, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I only write like an article about hot takes about once every year, so because it's just they're hard to cook.
They burn them easily, yeah. But yeah, this has been another mailbag. We got Justin and Dan on, of course, and Trevor was going to be on to talk some SETI, but we're going to stash that for after the holidays. Because of the Cavs' Christmas Day game falling on a Sunday, and because of who they're playing, we will not have a mailbag on Monday of next week. It'll be on Tuesday. That gives you an extra day to drop your questions in, so drop them to LockedOnCavs or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. We have a really bunch of really good guests this week. We're going to preview the Bucks with Locked On Bucks. Scott Rafferty is talking about how the Cavs are going to defend the Warriors and how LeBron's passing has been so absurd this year on Wednesday. We'll recap the Bucks game, and then we're going to do some Warriors stuff because, holy crap, the Cavs are finally playing the Warriors within the week on Christmas Day in Cleveland. Guys, before we go, what's the one thing out of that game, what's the one thing you really want to see happen on Christmas Day between Cavs and Warriors? I want to see Draymond Green, like, accidentally, like, kick somebody and just, like, chaos break out. Like, I need that.
That would be fun if I'm rooting for some sort of sideshow. That would definitely be it.
I'm here for
the show, only always. Thing that I'm really paying attention to is how Kevin Love looks against the Warriors. I don't think either team is going to use anything that they would use in the finals against each other in terms of game plan. Who Kevin Love guards, who guards Kevin Love is going to be really interesting to me. Even if he has a cold shooting night, if he's getting open looks, that's going to be very encouraging for me. Because we see Draymond, he completely shuts down so many good players. Like, Blake Griffin can't do anything against him. He does well against Anthony Davis. He does well against almost everybody. But if this new, stronger Kevin Love can be a productive offensive player against Golden State, that adds so much. I mean, Cavs won the title with Kevin Love being, like, probably concussed still, playing, like, 33 minutes in the road wins over Golden State in Game 5 and 7. If he can add what he's been bringing to the table now, that's going to make a huge, huge difference in this series. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of takeaways, but how Kevin Love plays and the type of looks he gets is going to be really interesting to me.
I think if I had to look out for a couple of things, I'd be decently afraid of the Steph Curry, Kevin Durant pick and roll, trying to get Kyrie and Kevin Love caught, like, hugging each other on a switch or something like that. I just think that they're going to be trying to get Steph Curry a little bit of his mojo back after Kevin Durant clearly stole it. Or sorry, Kevin Love clearly stole it at the end of the finals. And if I actually wanted something to happen, I would love to see Tristan Thompson dunk on Draymond. It'd be great. I mean, Air Canada at his finest.
I would be very here for that. I would bet you, and this isn't like a hot take or like a crazy bet at all, Draymond Green is going to get booed to hell. And I am like very excited to see that. I'm very excited to see how the Cavs crowd on Christmas, which is such like a happy day for most people. Like how they're going to be, and there's just going to be so much hate. There's going to be so much hate. And I really, really can't wait for how the Warriors react. Because I don't know if you guys see this when you watch the games on TV. But the Cavs' warm-up video, or the pregame video, set to DMX. I'm sure you've seen that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they updated throughout the year with new highlights.
Constantly. But they still have LeBron elbowing.
They still have LeBron elbowing Steph Curry. And it's the one thing they haven't changed. And literally every game... I'm usually like I'm usually typing something or getting something ready, and I always look up and I look around and I watch how people react, and people always like get really into it when LeBron elbows Curry in the head every single time. And knowing how the Cavs handle pregame ops, it would not shock me if they went back to some of the stuff from the finals and threw some shade, and they did that for that game. It would not shock me one bit. And I'm here for the atmosphere. I'm here for the atmosphere. Also, do you guys like the Christmas Day jerseys this year? I think they're better. I think they're a little bit better than last year.
Yeah. I like cursive fonts. The red's a little bit better. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, check out that all this week. A lot of really fun stuff happening. Make sure you follow Dan on Twitter at Daniel J. Rowell, Justin on Twitter at CavsAnada, me on Twitter at C. Dibman Writes. I will be back tomorrow previewing the Cavs' two games against the Bucks, because for some reason, the NBA decided having back-to-back games against the same team twice in back-to-back weeks made a lot of sense when they made the schedule. But we'll be back with Locked on Bucks, and we'll talk to you then.